Blog Talk Radio.
Daily News. One second.
Transit Workers Union go to court Monday to try to stop the city from forcing bus drivers to transport Wall Street protesters arrested by the NYPD, the Daily News has learned. The union, whose leaders voted last week to support the protesters, said police brass commandeered three MTA buses to transport many of the 700 demonstrators arrested on this Brooklyn Bridge on Saturday. Union President John Samuelson called ordering bus drivers to drive prisoners a blatant act of political retaliation. And police brass had no immediate comments on Samuelson's comments Sunday night. And Transit Workers Union Local 100 supports the protesters on Wall Street and takes great offense that the mayor and the NYPD have ordered operators to transport citizens who are exercising their constitutional right to protest and shouldn't have been arrested in the first place, Samuelson said Sunday night. At least five empty buses were commandeered from terminal points on both sides of the bridge, Samuelson said. In some cases, MTA supervisors ordered drivers to follow the directive. The MTA has a long history of cooperating with the NYPD and other law enforcement agencies when they require vehicles to perform their duties, said Jeremiah Mofton, MTA spokesperson. But that violates the contract between Local 100 and the MTA, Samuelson said. Our mission is to provide transit service to the riding public, not transport people who were arrested, he said. And the mass roundup on the bridge did little to stifle the protesters. Hundreds went right back to the rally after getting sprung. Just because we're being arrested, we're not being silenced, said Robert Grodd, from number 24. You go to Italy, you get gelato. You go to a protest, you expect to be arrested. Said Daniel Levine, Barrett College journalism student.
He's not too far from the truth there, is he?
Yeah. NYPD spokesman Paul Brown said 700 people received summonses and 8 were held, 3 for outstanding warrants and 5 for not providing ID. He did not immediately comment on the Transit Workers Union seeking an injunction. The nebulous protest against corporate greed, income inequality, and tax breaks for the fat cats enters its third week with growing crowds, a higher media profile, and a big union march set for Wednesday. Cops and protesters argued over whether demonstrators Saturday defied orders to stay on the bridge's pedestrian walkway or were lured into a trap by cops who said they could use the roadway. And an NYPD released a video showing the captain with a bullhorn telling a teeming throng, I'm ordering you to leave this roadway now. If you do so voluntarily, no charges will be placed against you. The crowd responded with chants of take our bridge and link arms as protesters on the walkway cheered. The Brooklyn bound lanes of the bridge were closed for nearly 3 hours as cops rounded up protesters. The protesters were warned, stay off the roadway, said the commissioner Raymond Kelly. A protest video showed a column of marchers entering the car lanes with officers walking calmly at their head. The cops led us onto the streets, said Casey O'Neill, 34, who quit his computer job in California to join the protest. Amazing. So anyway, that's what happened. We talked about this before, but it appears that the cops did lead them on and then, corral them. But there's video to show that's what happened. This next thing was really, really kind of freaky. Anonymous, you know, the hackers.
Yep.
You know, they're threatening to attack the New York Stock Exchange. On October 10th. And this is the what I have here is this article, but I also have the short audio clip that they put out on their YouTube channel, and I'd like to play that for you now. This thing's starting to get pretty heated up here, so hang on 1 second. Do you want to read that?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll play the video that goes with it.
You can bring it down so I can see it.
It just takes a second.
Anonymous declared war on the New York Stock Exchange this weekend and vowed to erase the New York Stock Exchange from the Internet on October 10th as the Occupy Wall Street protest ended its third week in New York City after a weekend that saw hundreds of protesters arrested during a planned march across the Brooklyn Bridge. On October 10th, the New York Stock Exchange shall be erased from the Internet. On October 10th, expect a day that will never, ever be forgotten, intoned a computer-generated male voice common to many anonymous videos in a warning posted on the Anonon Message YouTube channel. And there's a video. The Anonon Message channel has been updated. It has been used to post several Occupy Wall Street-related video messages since the protests against lax regulations of the financial sector and growing economic inequality began on September 17th. Those messages, including Anonymous' initial offer video regarding Occupy Wall Street and a warning sent last week to the New York Police Department that the threatened retaliation if the brutality does not stop against Occupy Wall Street protesters. Anonymous, until recently known mostly for wreaking havoc on the Internet through blunt force takedowns of websites and opportunistic hackings, has lent its help to low-tech street protests of late. Prior to its participation in Occupy Wall Street, the initiation of which is credited to the Canadian activist group Adbusters, Anonymous also had a large role in a string of live protests against actions taken by the Bay Area Rapid Transit Authority's police force. The threat to erase the New York Stock Exchange from the Internet was not explained, though in comments on the YouTube video, some speculated that Anonymous was planning a distributed denial-of-service attack on the public-facing NewYorkStockExchange.com website, similar to the DDoS attacks the group had used to take down websites in the past.
Others felt that would be only a minor setback for NY.
For the New York Stock Exchange.
And guessed that Anonymous was planning a larger attack, perhaps even an attempt to actually disable trading on the exchange. And I wanted to play this, if you don't mind.
See what this is going to say.
Yeah, it's interesting. A little bit of a preamble. You can check this on their on the Anon YouTube channel. Actually, got a channel.
Of the media. We are Anonymous. The events transpiring within Wall Street have gone awry. It seems that the government and federal agencies enjoy enforcing the law a little too much. They instant and just laws as mindless automatons, blindly following orders with soulless precision. We witness the government enforcing the laws that punish the 99% while allowing the 1% to escape justice, unharmed, for their crimes against the people. We have observed this same government failing to enforce even the minimal legal restraints of Wall Street's abuses. This government, who has willingly ignored the greed at Wall Street, has even bailed out the perpetrators that have caused our crisis. We will not stand by and watch the system take over our way of life. We the people shall stand against the government's inaction. We the people will not be witnesses to your corruption and ill-gotten profits. We will not labor for your leisure. We will not assist you in any way. This is why we choose to declare our war against the New York Stock Exchange. We can no longer stay silent, as the population is being taken advantage of for the sake of profit. We will show the world that we are true to our word. On October 10th, NYSE shall be erased from the Internet. On October 10th, expect a day that shall never, ever be forgot. Vox Populi, Vox Anon. The voice of the people is the voice of Anonymous. We are Legion. We are the 99%. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Wall Street, expect us.
All right, and that was the That was their actual, you can check that one out if you go to their site, which is Anon, the YouTube, Anonymous on YouTube. So, good luck, guys. Not as radical and controversial as it might seem, because high-level economists, congressmen, and many Americans want to end the Fed. And high-level economists support the Wall Street protests, and some very well-known economists also support ending the Fed. For example, Milton Friedman said, "This evidence persuades me at least a third of the price rise during and just after World War I is attributable to the establishment of the Federal Reserve System, and that the severity of each of the major contractions, 1920 to 21, 1929 to 33, and 1937 to 1938, is directly attributable to acts of commission and omission by the reserve authorities. And any system which gives so much power and so much discretion to a few men, so that mistakes, excusable or not, can have such far-reaching effects is a bad system. It is a bad system to believers in freedom just because it gives a few men such power without any effective check by the body politic. This is the key political argument against an independent central bank. And to paraphrase Clemenceau, money is much too serious a matter to be left in the central to the central bankers." And it goes on. There's different quotes by different people. But, of course, everyone knows, or most people should know, that Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich have introduced bills in the Congress to abolish the Fed. Most Americans want the Fed ended or at least reined in, and at least 75% of American people want a full audit of the Fed, and most are against reconfirming Bernanke. Indeed, as Bloomberg noted last December, majority of Americans are dissatisfied with the nation's independent central bank, saying the U.S. Federal Reserve should either be brought under tighter control, a political control, or abolished outright, a poll shows. So this, and this goes on, but the important thing to note is that that there seriously is a movement to end the Fed, and that's what this this whole thing is about.
Yep.
So anyway.
Well, maybe they'll look to Ron Paul. Isn't he the head of the banking committee?
Yeah, he is, but he hasn't
maybe
done anything
look
about it.
Maybe they'll look to him for some advice on what to do if it does get abolished.
Yep. And Occupy D.C. shuts down Bank of America branch on the 3rd of October, which was yesterday. When was it? Monday? Yeah. What's today? The 4th or the 5th?
Mm-hmm.
Today's the 4th?
I thought it was. Yeah.
I thought it was the 5th, but...
No. Today's the 4th.
Oh, jeez. Okay. On the 3rd of, of October, D.C. detached a team of six protesters to protest outside the 17th and 1st branch of Bank America. The small raiding party was enough, but the bank pulled down their security gate and closed the lobby. On top of all else, someone inside the bank called in a false police report, claiming that someone was inside the bank yelling on a bullhorn. There was a bullhorn, but both it and the protesters stayed outside for the duration of the protest. Only two cops responded, and they acted in a quite friendly manner to people protesting banking and Wall Street outrage.
Good.
So that's kind of
good. That's good. That's kind of good, I think.
I thought so. Let's see. The six reasons to occupy revolution will be difficult to co-op or defeat.
It started off as a small band of committed campers determined to occupy Wall Street. The protest began by opposing the blatant looting of Main Street and to show solidarity for economically oppressed peoples around the world. In just 2 short weeks, the occupation has exploded in size and is now spreading to other parts of the country. Notably, the only time the establishment media covered the swelling occupation was to discuss its lack of a cohesive message, as if to immediately discredit it, plant the seed of divide and conquer and move on. After ignoring the protest completely for the first 2 days, they were forced to cover the infamous pepper spray attack of harmless and contained women in what amounted to a mini Kent State incident. Just a second, we're coming to the second part of this. Just wait till it comes up. And this is from the Activist Post by Eric Blair. There it is. Sympathy for peaceful protesters immediately surged from the shameless act of police brutality. When well-known liberal activists like Michael Moore, Russell Simmons, and Susan Sandrin and others waded into the Manhattan encampment, almost instantly, Bill Riley labeled the demonstrators as anti-capitalists, so it seemed everyone in the establishment is falling into their left-right roles quite neatly when defining the revolution. Additionally, major workers' unions started voting to throw their support behind the movement. This further acts to define the message, and it will surely isolate anti-union Tea Party activists who otherwise share the same rage against the machine as the occupiers. Today, George Soros showed sympathy for the protesters, which is bound to ignite the Soros haters to condemn the entire demonstration. The establishment knows exactly what it's doing by isolating angry people back on their respective plantations. They will stop solidarity at all costs. Because of the lack of clear demands and the encroachment of ideological figureheads, some have warned that the movement can be easily co-opted. Examples to prove their concern range from how the grassroots Tea Party was swallowed up by establishment Republicans to how the Egypt Revolution, which isn't nearly over, by the way, simply replaced a globalist-backed dictator with a globalist-backed opposition leader. However, I can contest that it will be next to impossible to co-opt this explosive movement in America, precisely because there is no central command or demand. Some are there to protest the banksters' takeover of the people's government at taxpayers' expense. Closely tied to that is a general discontent of crony capitalism, as well as the resolute group of End the Fetters. Some are there to promote peace and end to the foreign wars. Some are there to defend their civil liberties against the aggressive surveillance and police state. And some are there simply because they lost their jobs or benefits and find themselves with no other way to fight the system. Indeed, there are countless more issues that are justifiably present.
Which really is good. I mean, this explains quite a bit. And many have been quick to call the protest controlled opposition, or shout out the ideas that they disagree with, and clearly, there will be many sources of power who attempt to hijack and redirect the growing rage. While it is important to point that out when obvious, and to educate the misdirected, we should be careful not to alienate those who are genuinely upset and are now primed to be fully awoken. Despite differing passions, protesters have shown unshakable solidarity and an overwhelming disgust of the system itself, otherwise known as the establishment. Another aspect that appears to unite all involved is the commitment to demonstrate peacefully. most importantly, it is a decentralized movement, like any true grassroots revolution. Try as the establishment and other fringe groups will, these characteristics are the foundation of why this movement cannot easily be co-opted or defeated. Building off that, here are six more specific reasons why the Occupy Revolution is here to stay until profound fundamental systemic changes take place.
Numbers don't lie. CNN reported last week that a record 90% of the population believe the economy stinks. What's worse, the government and banks have approval rating in single digits. Who will those 90% empathize with more, those who protest or the elitist bankers, their cronies, and their stormtrooper guards? The tinderbox has been lit, and there is no stopping it now. Millions of people have been waiting for a rallying call to direct their displeasure.
Left-right paradigm is shattered. Although all of the protesters likely have personal political leanings, most realize that voting for a specific brand has gotten them nowhere. And the merger of corporate and state power is now exposed for all to see. As far as solutions are concerned, everyone now realizes that Band-Aids will no longer treat specific wounds, and the bleeding is caused by an aneurysm in the system, not by a political party.
Corporate media discredited. Since protesters are acutely aware that the entire system has worked against them, the corporate media has been exposed to be an integral part of the problem. There have been unending lies by the establishment about wars, bailouts, politics, and a host of other main street concerns. The show's over. Informed citizens don't trust what they are hearing anymore. Peaceful protests.
Peaceful protests? Or is that?
When it goes down to having to use violence, then you are playing the systems game. The establishment will irritate you, pull your beard, flick your face to make you fight. Because once they've got you violent, they know how to handle you. The only thing they don't know how to handle is nonviolence and humor. That was John Lennon. The city's first mistake was letting protesters set up a peaceful camp. Now they're stuck with us. At this point, bringing in stormtroopers to remove the peaceniks will make Kent State look tame. Beware, however, of planted provocateurs used to demonize the disgruntled as dangerous and violent.
And token solutions will not disperse the occupants. The establishment will surely try to pacify masses with token actions like firing Bernanke or Geithner, raising taxes on the top 1%, or arresting some banksters. But it will not work because there are so many differing grievances. A charade of solutions will not satisfy the most aware protesters. This is the strength of the decentralized movement. And cops and military are being screwed too.
Again, the numbers don't lie. It's been noted that over 20% of NYPD mortgages are underwater, and if 9 out of 10 Americans feel screwed by the establishment, it's easy to assume that the majority also represents soldiers and police. It has been reported that several cops have refused to come to work, while some active duty and former military are plotting to protect the demonstrators from the police. Make no mistake, this revolution will become a battle of ideas. True solutions come in all colors and forms. They don't fit everyone's concerns, but this moment requires all of us to encourage others to participate. To accomplish anything substantial, we must first commit to throwing ourselves upon the gears and levers of the apparatus and to indicate to the owners of the machine that unless we're free, we'll prevent the machine from working at all. And as is famously said by Mario Savio, it's a blessing that each individual is focused on different gears and levers that must be exposed and stopped. Otherwise, a peaceful and lasting revolution does run the risk of being derailed.
Okay, and so that's what's going on there. And I want to take this minute now. I want to go to I want to call our guest, Larry Dorman, from the Ask Me Union.
So that's pretty wonderful, that whole movement, I think. It's just amazing what's happening. And while Leo was calling Larry, it's just, think about how amazing that is. It just started up and touched the soul. I mean, they're doing... everybody wanted.
Yeah.
It was just, at that moment, it was the right moment. And,
Hey, Leo.
Hey, how are you? Where are you?
Good.
I'm glad to have you on the show tonight. Hey, we just read a news release from AFSCME saying that they support the Occupy Wall Street.
I was pleased to read that myself. Did you notice that, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
I noticed that it come up on Facebook today, so I was very happy to see that. What are you up to there, Larry?
Well, you know, you have mental telepathy because I was looking at the very same release from our national union tonight, and I was been talking with a lot of my colleagues and union members. This thing is taking off, and actually, it seems like our unions have been a little slow to respond and embrace this, but it seems like that's coming around.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We were reading, just before you came on, we were reading an article on six reasons why the occupation, or six reasons why this particular revolution won't be broken up like others have done. And I'll just go quickly over. It says, numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Number one is that 90% of the population believe the economy stinks, it says by a CNN reported. And what's worse is the government and banks have approved ratings in single digits. Okay. It says, who will those 90% empathize with more? Those who protest are the elitist bankers, their cronies and stormtroopers, you know?
And the police and military are part of that group. Many of them have their mortgages underwater.
Yeah, 20% of the New York Police Department's mortgages are underwater. Imagine that.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So.
They have a lot of sympathy for what's happening down there.
Yeah, they sure do.
You don't see that part on the mainstream media, of course.
No.
And that's the problem. It's being ridiculed and dismissed and relegated to small print in the mainstream press, and that's certainly a problem.
And you know, another thing that really impressed me, and this is so true, it says the left and right paradigms are shattered in this revolt. And there's the reason they're saying that is because all of the protesters likely have personal political leanings, but most realize that voting on a specific brand has gotten them nowhere. So people are understanding that if you're a Republican or Democrat, it's really pretty much you're getting the same thing.
Yeah,
but,
there's no political party to an underwater mortgage or unemployment.
Yeah. And
I love that. And
people are understanding this, and that's and you know, it's funny because I've seen so many. I mean, you get Fox News saying blah 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 blah, but some of these right wing political blogs and stuff, especially the ones I have on Facebook. I have some people that are real right wingers on Facebook, friends, and they're honestly shocked. Okay, by this, they don't know what to say for this, and they're actually impressed with the ferocity, okay, or the ferociousness of the libs when they get angry, you know,
and this is really
shocking them, and I was really I'm really pleased to see that. So I think this protest is really making a statement. By the liberals, and it's not just young people. Perhaps I saw there was an 83-year-old woman who was arrested just the other day in New York City for refusing to get out of the way or something or other.
Mm-hmm.
The police wanted
to. And it's great. It spread to cities all over the country, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and I think we're going to start trying to get. We need to see some events organized in our state, and you know, it's kind of interesting, and far be it for me to defend Fox News, but I have no, it comes as no surprise that Fox isn't going to give this tremendous coverage, not because they disrespect it. I actually think it's the kind of populist movement that they would try to spawn among the teabaggers and the right-wing haters. So,
tried to do, yeah.
Kind of,
it's exactly what they tried
kind of
to do, but...
is kind of their stock and trade. So when they treat the occupation dismissively, it's because they're actually nervous about the opposition finally figuring out that they need to embrace some of the same tools. I'm much more irked and much more disturbed by the failure, as you say, of the mainstream media. I mean, Fox is a propaganda network, but I'm bothered by the mainstream media's refusal to cover this because they are ultimately, you know, corporate shills, I guess, and they don't want to give this the respect it might deserve. You know, so
I know
Yeah,
what's interesting is this particular article. It's on Activist Post. It said that one of the other reasons that this will not this can't be broken up, and this is a real serious revolution, is because the corporate media has been discredited. And it says, since protesters are acutely aware that the entire system has worked against them, the corporate media has been exposed to be an integral part of the problem. And there have been unending lies by the establishment about the wars, the bailouts, the politics, and a host of other mainstream concerns, and the show's over. It says, the informed citizens don't trust what they are hearing anymore. So there's an acute awakening that's finally happening. And
people understand when they turn on the mainstream news that isn't at all the way it really is.
Yeah, and
because
right.
those people may be the ones that are feeling the lies. They're out of work. Their mortgage is underwater. Their brother, their sister have been at war, and it's not at all. You know, hero, when you come back and you have to go on benefits, and they aren't there.
Yeah, Sorry, go ahead, Larry. So, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
Well, I was just going to say that shows like ours have been, we had a great month last month, so, you know, about 3,000 listeners last month, which was great, you know, for this small show. And it's growing all the time. We just about hit our 100,000th listener. And, you know, it's been a tremendous growth over the last, I'd say, over the last couple of years, we've really been mushrooming, but something's happening that people are really, really looking at our programming now, more and more and more, and programming like ours, and they're going for the alternative news, you know? So
I hope so. You know, that's one of the key developments that's going to pull us out of this mess, and certainly don't have a crystal ball. The National AFL-CIO sponsored a young workers summit last week in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it's up on the AFL-CIO.org blog, and they have a statement by a young woman, Amaya Tune, and I love what she wrote. She said, "The world in which we live isn't working for the vast majority of people. The top 1% controls the economy, makes profits at the expense of working people, and dominates the political debate. Wall Street symbolizes this simple truth. A small group of people have the lives and livelihoods of working Americans in their hands." So, you know, maybe the folks who have been kind of disparaged as being part of some sort of lunatic fringe actually are onto something. And, you know, as more and more groups like the AFL-CIO and AFSC start to embrace this, maybe it takes us in a clearer and better direction.
I really think so. I really think so. I was really happy to see AFSC make that release today. And
did you get any reaction
about you guys having your plateau, your plateauing upward with people who find you on the internet, and it really is. It's the antithesis of the corporate media, right? And you have to find the outlets, you have to create them if you can't find them. And I think that if, however, we can encourage people and our members to do that, I think the better off we'll all be. We kind of have to make this diffusion into a positive force, And I bring it back to the fact that I don't think the people at Fox are sneering at this. I think they're nervous about it. That's why they don't
want
to cover it. Whereas, the Tribune Company, which owns the Hartford Courant and a bunch of other papers and radio stations and TV stations, they're not going to give it fair coverage because it speaks to their, their monopolistic control, and it speaks to their shareholder-driven vision, which isn't a vision that positively affects working Americans.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the best interviews I've heard in quite a long time. I played it on our show last Wednesday night. I did an entire tribute to Occupy Wall Street with a bunch of video or YouTube videos, you know.
The audio.
But they had a great interview with Chris Hedges. He used to be the columnist with the New York Times. And
Chris Hedges, yeah.
Yeah, and he said that because he knows a lot of people. He used to be in the New York Times, but he knows a lot of the insiders, you know. And he said, listen, these guys are scared to death, okay, of what's happening out here. He says they are seriously scared. And he says, I can't support this group more than you know, and what's going on here. He says, I just love what's happening here. And he was right down there in the trenches there and being interviewed and taking part of it. And
wow.
Yeah.
I respect his writing.
Yeah, so that was really good. And then when I started seeing that, you know, Boston and Los Angeles and Chicago, where they're actually...
They're really heating up.
Where they're heating up to a big way. But they're going after the banks. They're going after Bank America. They're going after the Fed, all right. Mm-hmm. And they're marching by thousands in front of those buildings, closing them down. Okay, actually closing their lobbies, and you know it's amazing.
Predatory lenders. You know, I told you both before, and I know you're aware of this. Bank of America has a high percentage of their workers on Husky health, whose kids are on Husky health care, because they provide inadequate or no health care coverage to their own employees. And, you know, these are bad players. Bank of America, right. That's when a bunch of our unions were protesting at Bank of America last year after the bailout. That was one of the issues.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, look, you know, these are, you know, and unfortunately the debate, the mainstream political debate, which we're trying to flip around, is that tax breaks and incentives and loans and grants to corporations will revive the economy. And that's just been proven a fallacy time and again, and we've got to stop it. You know, we've got to stop it. And I think that is certainly suffusing some of the stuff we're seeing in Wall Street and in other states.
Well, I think that this movement is will be very difficult to stop because people have nothing to lose. If you're part of that, probably more like 15 or 20% of young people with no job, and no vision of a job in the future. What do you have to lose? Because you might as well go out there and protest, and you have maybe college loans that you can never repay.
Yeah.
I mean, they have nothing to look forward to, really.
And they can't even file bankruptcy to lose those loans because they're exempt from bankruptcy. So.
That's absolutely right. And the whole college loan process has become more difficult for young people. So you're right, Lila. There is, you know, they're going into a future without money, without hope, and, you know, that whole premise that each succeeding generation would do a little bit better than the previous is getting blown to smithereens.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that they were having an Occupy Wall Street in New Haven today?
I did not know that. And
tomorrow they have one in Hartford. So they've organized...
That's been sort of the up and down of this thing is that, you know, the news doesn't always reach everyone because it's not being transmitted through, you know, the main. But we're going to, as I say, we're getting union members are asking this occupation idea is percolating all over the place. And, you know, I think that's all to the good. And ironically, it's coming at a time when Obama's trying to push the multi-billion dollar jobs bill, Malloy and the legislature are going to convene a special session at the end of the month on how to create jobs. And again, we've got
who's going to be that group that Malloy is convening?
As far as I know, we're not on it. So let me take you that way. You know, unfortunately, I think there are, you know, it's legislators, agency people, private sector business people. I think there's going to be a shortage of kind of, you know, real world Connecticut citizens struggling to make ends meet.
I was hoping you had a voice in that.
Oh, I meant to tell you before. I wanted to tell you also that they're having an Occupy D.C. Okay, Occupy Washington is happening, and I believe on the 15th of this month. All right.
Wow.
There's the entire group. They've been putting this together since June, it's happening now, and they announced it. They've been announcing it, but I just heard about it yesterday, the day before. There's a massive group of people, and they're calling all these people down from around the country now to occupy occupy D.C. because they're planning to camp out right on the Capitol grounds. But they get 100, 200, 300,000.
A Hooverville.
People.
They'll have a Hooverville.
Yeah, they plan to
I
really
love
do
it. Lila, that's great to hear that word.
That's what we need. We need, in order to get any change, you need thousands of people down there camping out, not for a weekend holding a sign, but staying there for two or three weeks. No, months.
Yeah, when it gets cold in January.
And really make an impression on our Congress, because so far nothing has made an impression on them.
No, they got to be down there and harassing the congressmen. They got to be on the steps of the Capitol building. They got to be hounding these guys coming and going, you know. And that's the only way that's going to scare them enough to do something. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and maybe corral Cantor and the Republicans and you know, shove them in a corner somewhere. You know, but that's what's going to happen.
Maybe Boehner won't be so concerned with his even tan.
I think orange
Boehner, yeah. Well, it's interesting. I'm going to try to get down to New York, actually, next week. I'm just anxious to see what's going on. So I'm going to bring my flip cam and, you know, try to talk to people and see what I come up with.
I think you'll
feel very energized, I'll bet.
Yeah.
You'll come back and you'll just feel that energy of those young people, really.
Yeah, just go to Occupy Wall Street on YouTube, and you'll see thousands of things going on there that'll just amaze you. They got Occupy Boston, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Now they got Hartford and New Haven. I think there's like 146 cities around the country right now that are part of it, it's swelling every day. Getting bigger
Good. Well, thanks for the work you're doing on this. I apologize. I have to cut out.
That's okay. Thank
I'm really
you for
thrilled
being...
you brought up the occupation theme. This was an appropriate time to talk about it.
Really. And,
well, we'd love to hear what you think after you come back.
Yeah, we would.
I'll report back to you.
Yeah, we want to hear what you have to say. And thanks very much, Larry.
Yeah,
thanks
a million, Larry, and have a great night, and thanks for being on.
Good. Talk to you guys soon, all right?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That was Larry Dorman, Public Affairs Coordinator for AFSCME Union here in New Britain, Connecticut, Council 4. And he's going to take a trip down to Wall Street and see what's going on there.
I've got something that I wanted to play here. As we still got some time before Woody comes on. And I wanted to play this. It's only 28 seconds, but it's the end of the speech called the Machine Speech on the Sproul. And very famous. And he gave this speech in an activist. Actually, he was a student back then. Mario Sava, December 2nd, 1964. And listen to the passion of this one.
Operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
That was quite true. So now, to go ahead, I'm going to refer you to this article that we just read.
From the Activist Post.
Right, and just go to activistpost.com, I believe.
Six reasons the Occupy Revolution will be difficult to co-op or defeat, by Eric Blair.
Yep, and let's see, I got a couple more really goodies here.
Let's see.
I wanted to read that thing that Cain said about Palestine, because he's such a blunderhead. It's out this week. Hang on a second. Yeah. Well, before we go, we put quite a bit on that. I just want to see if I have one more thing I had on.
I was looking for whether he's posted in another.
Yeah.
It takes him a minute to find things.
See, I've got him. What I do to try to get, when I collect everything through the course of a week, I try to post them all on my Facebook archives, Facebook page, on my profile page, so I have them all in order. From all these different sources, and you can go to Leo Steele on Facebook if you're already there. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to talk a little bit. Just a minute.
Occupy Boston.
Yeah, it says fuck the Fed, and this is thousands of people marching through Boston.
That's very cool.
It's only about 30 seconds, so. Stimulation of autophagy, autophagy or whatever.
The study concluded that via the same biochemical process, THC could terminate multiple types of cancers affecting various cells of the body. Other studies have shown that cannabinoids may work by various mechanisms, including inhibiting cell growth, inducing cell death, and inhibiting tumor metastasis. What is amazing is that while cannabinoids effectively target and kill cancer cells, they do not affect healthy, normal cells and may actually protect them against cellular death. Moreover, cannabinoids are also researched for their pain modulation and anti-inflammatory abilities as they bind to special receptors in the brain, much like opioid derivatives that are commonly prescribed today. Further evidence to support the effects of cannabis extract on malignant cells comes from the real-life experience of individuals who have successfully overcome cancer by using cannabis oil. Examples include a patient who managed to completely cure his skin cancer by simply applying cannabis oil onto the affected area of his skin, as well as another who recovered from a severe head injury with the aid of hemp oil. One of the cannabinoids that has displayed amazing medical properties is cannabinoid or cannabidiol, or CBD, a non-psychoactive compound that is regarded by some as the medical discovery of the 21st century, and with good reason. Research indicates that CBD can relieve convulsions, reduce inflammation, lower anxiety, and suppress nausea, while also inhibiting cancer development. In addition, CBD has exhibited neuroprotective properties, relieving symptoms of dystonia and proving just as effective as regular antipsychotics in treatment of schizophrenia. What stands out is that from the vast amount of research and data available, as well as the personal experiences of cancer survivors, is that no chemotherapy currently being used medically can match the non-toxic, anti-carcinogenic, and anti-tumorigenic effects of these natural plant compounds.
There you go. And that was by naturalnews.com. And I suggest you go to that and check out some of the great articles they have. What time is it there? We got Woody coming up in about in a minute or so.
Yep, he's with us
now.
He's on the line.
Okay.
So we can perhaps play his song.
Yeah, and then there was one other I wanted to talk about before John comes up tonight. It will be at 9:30. Is how the U.S. conspired with Japan to dump nuclear waste into the world's oceans. All right, that'll be coming up shortly. Right after Woody. So we got Woody coming right up here. Let's go to hang on a second. Yeah. We'll play his music.
Can you play his? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, we'll do the intro and Woody in the ring.
Into the ring with Woody.
Thank you, Lila. Good evening, sports fans, on this cold Tuesday night. Watch your heads on the ropes as you step into the ring with Woody. Tonight's topics, my stone cold locks, little NFL talk, and then we get right to the baseball playoffs. Okay, last week I was pretty hot on my stone cold locks. That's why I call them the stone cold locks. Hit all three games. So I am now 8-3-1, which is pretty damn good, I must admit myself.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Those are good odds. So if you're betting on with me, you're doing good so far. Anyway, here's the games I like for this week. Giants coming home over Seattle -10. Seattle stinks. They're on the road. Giants kind of seem like they're on a roll, although I must admit, this is just the kind of game that the Giants don't cover. This is why it's so hard to take the Giants on anything. Every time you take the Giants, they don't cover. Every time you don't take the Giants, they do cover or they win. It's just horrendous. But I think this is one of those games that you can take the Giants, and they're going to cover. Seattle's just not that good. Now, the next game that I like is the Cardinals. They're traveling to Minnesota, and they're getting 3. Minnesota seriously just stinks. Donovan McNabb should just hang it up. Mike Shanahan in Washington knew exactly what he was doing when he got rid of him, just as Andy Reid in Philadelphia knew exactly what he was doing when he got rid of him. They're strictly a first-half team. The Cardinals have lost a couple of tough games. They should have beat the Giants last week. That was a bullshit call. But, hey, those are the breaks. You got good teams overcome that kind of stuff. So I'm going to take the Cardinals. Even though they're traveling to Minnesota, it's really hard to take a team that travels, but they are getting points, so you got to like that. My third and final pick, I like the Chargers. They're going to Denver. Denver is horrendous. Denver's going to be getting 4.5. This is a tough kind of game. When you're traveling to somebody's place and you're giving them points, it's always difficult to win. But Denver's just so bad, I don't see it being a problem. And, San Diego is a good team, and I don't see them having a problem with Denver. So we'll just have to wait and see. But those are my picks for this week. This past weekend, there were some interesting games. As I said, the Giants got lucky. They caught a break. That dude had definitely fumbled the ball. Well, not fumbled, but he had put the ball down on the turf, and he hadn't been touched. Unless you're touched, you're not officially down. So if you place the ball on the ground, the opposing team can pick that up. That's a live ball, man. But the ref said the guy gave himself up. But that's a total whack. That's just not right. Cardinals got screwed. The Jets game was unwatchable. They got embarrassed on national TV on the Sunday night game. Baltimore ran back 3 turnovers for touchdowns. I mean, that just doesn't happen. I mean, that happens in a year. Like, your defense will do that, 3 in a year, but not in one game. Very embarrassing. The Jets are kind of like been assembled, and they're kind of like a bully team. And once you smack a bully, you can kind of, things just get real ugly. For the bully, they kind of like soften up, and that's kind of what happened to the Jets. They're used to bullying people and stuff, and somebody else was bigger and badder that day, and the Jets really got embarrassed. Very ugly game. Another game that was interesting to watch over the weekend was the Houston game. Houston's having the kind of year that I predicted they would have last year. They beat the Steelers. I had them over the Steelers. It was a good game. Roethlisberger got banged up pretty good, and Pittsburgh could be in trouble this year. We'll just have to wait and see. Interesting book coming out on one of my heroes, Walter Payton, former Chicago Bears running back and 1985 Super Bowl champion. Although he never did score a touchdown in that game, he was mostly used as a decoy, kind of sad. But the book is extremely unflattering, very unflattering. I guess he was hooked on some painkillers, played with some concussions, cheating on his wife. I guess his wife and his girlfriend, he had to keep them separate at the Hall of Fame introduction. I don't know, it's just some lot of ugly stuff, most of which has been confirmed, which is kind of sad. So I'd like to get that book, and then I'll probably do a little bit of a review. Now, moving on to the baseball season. The playoffs are in effect. Before I talk about the playoff teams, I would like to mention a team that didn't make the playoffs, which was the Boston Red Sox. The drunks up in Boston must have been drinking a little extra heavy because they collapsed. They had a 9-game lead for the wild card, and they just imploded. They never won 2 games in a row in September. Now, that's awfully hard not to win 2 games in a row in the game of baseball. Their pitching was absolutely pathetic. And according to stuff that's coming, out of media now, one of their pitchers was allowed to get his drink on in the locker room on his off days. I would assume it's John Lackey. That puss on his face all the time. He seems like a real douchebag. I would bet that they'd do anything to get rid of him next year. It seemed like Francona wasn't really fired. As I said, he would not be the manager if they don't make the playoffs, and sure enough, he is no longer the manager. He resigned technically, but I don't think the Red Sox were going to bring him back anyway. But I don't think he wanted anything to do with these guys. I think he just absolutely has had it, lost control of that locker room, and once that happens, that's it. Your time's up. And I don't think the organization was going to bring it back anyway. As far as the playoffs go, I made a few picks prior to the playoffs. I like Milwaukee over Arizona. They're probably going to complete the sweep tonight. Philly over the Cardinals. Cardinals just don't have enough. Texas over the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays, nice little story. They made the playoff, yada, yada, but just not enough of a team to beat Texas. Texas finished them off today. And tonight we have the Yankees battling Detroit. Yankees down 2-1 in what is a 5-game series there. Yankees are playing for their playoff lives this evening with A.J. Burnett on the mound. C.C. Sabathia pitched in what was, I guess you could term, hard luck last night. They really squeezed him on the strike zone. Boy, it was a tough game to watch if you're a Yankee fan. But Sabathia hung in there, man. He never hung his head. I would have been freaking out if it was me. I would have bum-rushed that ump behind the plate and just smashed him in the face. But I guess that's why I'm not a pitcher for the Yankees, and he is. But, he really got squeezed. But he should have made adjustments and had that, hey, that's on him. You're a pro. You're supposed to do what you got to do. But, tough game. Yankees could have won last night. They got 4 runs off Verlander. You know, if you say Verlander goes 8 and we got 4 runs off him, you'd think the Yankees would win the game, but they didn't. So tonight, thus far, score is 0-0. Burnett already walked with the bases loaded. already got guys warming up and stuff. So we'll have to wait and see how it goes. I think the Yankees will pull it out. Porcello's garbage, and I think they're really going to score some runs off him tonight. We'll have to wait and see if my predictions come true. That's it for this week. Shout out to all my woodheads out there. Ron, Mark, Leo, Dino, Troy, Greg at AFS, everyone at the Northeast Athletic Club. That's it for this week. Hopefully we can stop the rain because I feel like we're living in Seattle.
Okay. Thank you, Woody. you can eat. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah. And we're going to do, I was thinking of
audio here.
This was this is about a 5-minute video, but just to carry on as to what the revolution is about, all right? There's many different aspects to the Occupy Wall Street issue, but some are going for GMOs, some are attacking that, chemtrails, 9/11, all of the wrongs that are corporate and government sponsored
that banksters are part of,
and we're we hope that we can give you that flavor, right? But for those of you who don't quite understand the monetary system and why it's so screwed up as it is, there's an excellent 5-minute video audio that I thought was just excellent. Excerpt from Big Brother, The Big Picture. David Icke explains what money is and a monetary agenda in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that, personally, it's one of those that if, knowing what it's taken me a number of years, to figure this out.
You going
to
play that now?
I wanted to play this now.
Yeah,
why
don't you play
it? Just a few minutes. And then I wanted to play a very quick video on GMOs. They don't want you to know. All right? So that's coming up. And then at 9:30, hopefully we'll have a report by John Brennan, and he'll be here. So let's listen to this short video by David Icke explaining the monetary system. There we go. Fiat currency and Keynesian economics.
Mm.
Very interesting.
May surprise you folks.
Oh yeah. Cool.
It takes a minute for it to come up, so please be patient.
And here we go.
What is money? How is money created? That's another big question. It's private banks lending non-existent money called credit. What is credit? When you go into a bank and you want to borrow $50,000, the bank doesn't print any money. It doesn't move precious metals anywhere. It types into your account $50,000, and from that moment, you start owing it not only $50,000, but the interest on the $50,000. And if you can't pay that back through no fault of your own, because the banking system has done what it's just done and you lose your job so you can't pay them back, they get your wealth that does exist, your home, your car, your business, your land. It's been going on for centuries. This is why it has sucked the wealth of the world into the hands of the few. What is an economic boom? It's when there's lots of units of exchange, money, in circulation, creating lots of economic activity, which causes people to have confidence in the economic situation. In those times, they get more and more in debt because they're so confident. Or we can have a bigger house, a bigger car, 2 vacations, and all the rest of it. And the banking system, controlled by the same people and coordinated by the same people, have put that out there, fishing line out. Lots of credit. Hey, what do you mean you earn, $2 an hour? You want a $500,000 mortgage? No problem. Here you go. Gotcha. Out there. It doesn't matter. We're getting the house eventually anyway. And then what they do is they take money out of circulation. They're pulling the bloody line in now. And as they take money out of circulation, oh no, we've got a credit crunch, we can't make loans and give you any more money that doesn't exist and charge you interest on it. Oh no, it's real serious. We haven't got a problem with that, they'll bail us out. Because we control them, you see. So, and then what happens if we move over here into a slump or a depression? Not because anyone doesn't want to work, not because people want to lose their homes, but because there is not enough units of exchange in circulation for the economic activity to go on that allows them to earn the money to pay back the loans. So now the banks go, thank you very much, I'll have some of that. And The only difference between the moon and the bus is what the private banking cartel has allowed as units of exchange through credit or not through credit. I heard of politicians. They all were saying to me, I don't know, I can't tell them apart. We've all got dark suits with heads on and their mouths are moving. That's all I can do. Oh, I've seen someone over the last few days. Someone yesterday, some politician or other, said that they had to bail out the banks here with more debt for the people who've already been screwed by those they're supposed to get out of trouble. Main Street cannot function without credit. People can't pay their bills without credit. Big question. What the hell system allows that to be the case? This money thing is in the DNA of society. It controls choice and all the rest of it. It controls whether we have shelter or no shelter, and the few control it. So we have Greenspan, starts the old subprime going under his watch and stuff, and off it goes. But the point is, all these banks are being taken over by other banks, and people think, oh, it's terrible for the banking system. Lehman Brothers has gone. Merrill Lynch has been taken over by Bank of America. Oh, my God, what's happening? Oh, Bear Stearns, oh, it must be terrible. No, it's terrible for the people in those banks that lose their jobs, yeah, and families to look after, but it ain't terrible for the system because this network of people own the game. And although the faces within the game may change, the people controlling the game do not change. So they never lose. This is how it works. God, people only realize in that area of society that doesn't look at this. So, like I say, these own the banking game. And what goes on inside it, they still own it. They still control it. And they want a world central bank. And they've just taken enormous strides towards it at the expense of the harmony, the peace, and the lives of people.
That's the that really was a very good explanation of what money is, okay, and what we've allowed it to become.
Yep, so you just go in and you say you want $50,000 and they just type it in. They don't have it.
No, they haven't got it. They just created it. You know?
Yeah.
But the real money...
It's created when you have that debt.
Right. Now, this is a speech by Eisenhower, warns us of the New World Order. And this was back in 1961 by...
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. we must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
That was Dwight Eisenhower explaining what's going on. And JFK also did. He spoke against that. And
that's why he was assassinated.
Yep. And it's quite frightening. And
now it's a minute right here, a minute and 54 seconds. You might be interested in that.
What's that?
JFK speaks out against the New World Order. JFK telling us the 9/11 truth. I don't understand that one.
I'll check that one out because I haven't heard that. The New World Order speech I've heard.
Let's see what this is.
Let's see what he says.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program. For from that scrutiny comes understanding. And from that understanding comes support or opposition. And both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. For I have complete confidence in the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors. For as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger.
That was great.
Yeah, now that was JFK to the National Press Club or something, I guess. But didn't say what where it's from, but
yeah,
but
very good.
He did make it a public speech.
It didn't make him too popular.
No, not at all. But the next one I wanted to do before John, I'm hoping John Brennan will be joining us tonight. This one is on GMOs. Now the GMOs is saying they don't want what they don't want you to know. This is by Dr. Rima Labau, MD. U.S. government has been trying to prevent labeling dangerous GMO foods made by multinational corporation masters like Monsanto for years.
Mm.
And let me go to that now. And I have a short article about California.
Supermarket, symbol of the highest standard of living in this country today. The supermarkets. And in the marketing
system,
culture had had in more than 7,000 years.
Hi, I'm Rima Ilebo, MD. I'm the medical director of the Natural Solutions Foundation. And I'd like to tell you about what CODEX, which means the United States and its following nations, is doing for the multinational corporations that make GMO organisms. What they're doing is hiding from you. They're hiding from the consumers of the world because they do not want you to know what the food is that you're eating. They don't want you to know that you're consuming GMO foods and that you're changing your DNA and changing the DNA of your descendants if you have children. They don't want you to know that your fertility is impaired. They don't want you to know that your organs are damaged and those of any children that you might have. They don't want you to know that your DNA is changed forever. They don't want you to know that once GMO food becomes the only food available, they, the multinational corporations, can decide whether you can have any. They can decide what gets grown. They can decide what price they charge for it. They don't want you to know that GMO food increases when it's grown as a crop. The amount of pesticide used, the amount of herbicide used, that GMO crops lead to decreased profits for farmers, increased prices for consumers, super weeds, super pests, and losses in biodiversity and the safety of our world that can never be repaired.
Okay. And just so you understand how bad these things really are, and the genetically modified organisms, food. The next one I wanted to bring up tonight was one about California, a death blow to GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
The California bailout, or ballot rather, initiative calls for the labeling of GMOs, and
they do that
for a long time, but they're doing it again. They're trying to bring up a referendum for this, and who knows? I think people are waking up enough to realize that it's happening. Death blow to GMOs. California ballot initiative calls for mandatory labeling of all genetically engineered foods.
And what is perhaps the most significant breaking news we've heard on the GMO front in a long time, an effort has just been announced in California that seeks to gather enough signatures to put in a historical initiative on the ballot, which would require the labeling of GMOs in foods. I interviewed Ronnie Cummings from the Organic Consumers Association, www.organicconsumers.org, who is a key leader in advocating mandatory GMO labeling. His organization is playing a significant role in helping to get this initiative on the ballot in California. This is the pathway to victory against GMOs. With this initiative on the ballot, we have a very achievable strategy to deal a death blow to GMOs and restore sanity and integrity to our seeds and our food crops.
And there's an interview available on this site. It's half an hour long, but it's very good. Now, highlights from the announcement for mandatory GMO labeling. This labeling initiative is effectively a ban on GMOs. Because most consumers simply won't buy genetically engineered ingredients once they know they are present in conventional foods.
That's true. GMOs are only continuing to be grown and sold today because consumers have been prevented from knowing about the GMO ingredients in their foods.
75% of all non-organic processed food in grocery stores today contain genetically engineered ingredients.
90 to 95% of Americans want to know which foods contain GMOs.
The GMO industry is already gearing up to fight this ballot initiative and plans to spread lies about GMOs, such as GMOs are necessary to feed the world, or genetically engineered crops are perfectly safe. The quack scientists who push GMOs are no doubt gearing up to spread their lies and disinformation as part of this effort to confuse consumers and thereby protect their GMO profits.
This initiative, if approved, would force health food retailers like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's to reformulate their own products and inventory to remove GMOs. There's going to be panic in the boardrooms of Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, says Cummings. I thought they were supposed to be all organic.
No, and I thought so, too. And 700,000 signatures are needed in California to bring this initiative on the ballot. This will require an army of volunteers with clipboards to gather the signatures. See below for how you can contribute to this effort. Go to organicconsumer.org and click on the Millions Against Monsanto campaign page to see where you can sign up to be a volunteer. And significant funding providers for this campaign include Dr. Droner's $1 million. Nature's Path, $500,000. Mercola.com, $500,000. Organic Consumers Association, $250,000, and others. So there's been some big money behind this.
Tomorrow, National News is announcing our own donation and fundraising efforts to support the effort to demand mandatory GMO labeling.
Yeah.
Oh, and ultimately remove GMOs from the food supply entirely. Keep reading naturalnews.com this week and throughout the month of October, where you'll find up-to-date breaking news and announcements about the most important developments in the realm of GMOs.
Okay, and we got Johnny coming up in just a second, but I wanted to mention this article before we bring him up. That U.S. tried to conspire with Japan to dump nuclear waste into the world's oceans. There's a document here that talks about it. But, yes, back in, I believe it was 1972, when Japan and the world agreed that they could dump nuclear energy or nuclear products, nuclear waste, rather, into the oceans.
So we'll just mention it a little bit.
Yeah, the United Nations had proposed the Convention on the Prevention of Marine Pollution by Dumping the Waste and Other Matters, also known as the London Convention. To deal with the growing global pollution problem. And the agreement's provision sought to specifically regulate the environmental pollution that signing nations could and could not dump into the oceans, which of course included nuclear production. But Japan and the United States were exempted from this.
Okay.
Huh. Agreement had not been fully established. The U.S. took advantage of the situation by seeking to insert an exemption clause permitting the dumping of decommissioned nuclear reactors into the ocean.
Oh, my
and
God.
Since Japan had also been involved in developing its own nuclear energy program, the U.S. thought it could gain additional support for the exemption clause from its Asian ally. But Japan allegedly did not comply, according to Kumau Kaneki, 74, who was a member of the foreign ministry team involved in the negotiations at the time. So the U.S. decided to go it alone in proposing its exemption clause, which was meant to be a last resort option, and it was eventually successful in achieving its goal. So the United States is the only one who was exempted by this and is dumping
nuclear waste into the ocean.
Yeah, and you can read this via naturalnews.com and check it out. And we got John Brennan joining us right now. And here we go. Hang on a second.
He's on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good evening, Leo. Good evening, Lila.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing well, except for the horrible rainy weather practically putting me at the unemployment lines because I'm a danger and we really are not getting much done.
Oh, man.
No, isn't it something? Every other day it seems to rain.
Well, you commented, you feel like you're back in Ireland. And I said, this is why I left. Rain like this. And of course, I try then to sometimes explain about the fact that the weather is not a product of, if you believe in the Lord Jesus or whoever your God you choose him to be, that it's Mother Nature. It's not just Mother Nature. We have a lot of interfering military people around the world. The think tanks that use weather as a weapon, weather control, is functional and up and running, and this is what causes the climate extremes, earthquakes, and so forth. But I'm not going to get into all that tonight. I know I had probably said to Leo over the telephone during the week, or maybe it was on air last week, we were going to do something on the radiation rain that had been... there was a number of articles up on the internet and also a video on YouTube, which was quite stunning. It showed a gentleman in, I believe it was Northern California, maybe British Columbia, if I recall, and he had taken a sample with a tissue of his windscreen of the rain and had a Geiger counter reading off the scale. I mean, just totally in the red. So it isn't just hearsay. You can see the video on YouTube if you type in radiation rain that's on Geiger counter. Some think of a phrase, it'll come up on YouTube. Several headings will bring it up, I'm sure. I tried finding some more very current information, and it's a little spotty, to say the least. Some of the radiation stories that I'm finding are kind of all relating back to the Fukushima explosion, almost go back to last April. The updates are really not that great that I'm inclined to, you know, give you some...
They've really been trying to censor it pretty much. So,
yeah, there is a lady I know who speaks Japanese, and she did say that there was some very serious questions being asked over in Japan on the people in the street are being, you know, they don't believe a word their mainstream media is telling them.
Oh, in fact, they were talking. There was one video I saw a while back in an article not long ago, I think last week, where they were planning to evacuate Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
That did come up, but apparently the logistics of evacuating 30 million plus people it wouldn't be doable, basically. And even if they did, what would they do? People, it would just be a nightmare. They're basically...
Where would they go? You know, where would they possibly go?
Right, and it's kind of like what happened down in the Gulf, you know. They'll forget about it after a while. The oil isn't there. You don't see it, it's not there. It's like, I hate to say, but with radiation, you never do see it, but it is there. It's like the Corex that they're spraying. They're still spraying over the Gulf area. I did talk to a gentleman about that down in Florida. He's seen the nighttime flyovers. There's still oil leaking. Whether it's from that particular oil leak or not, there's other oil leaks in the Gulf because there's a lot of drilling going on there.
I heard it was I heard recently it was the same spill. Still was leaking, but then someone came up and said, "Oh no, it wasn't. It was something else."
Well,
in the surface, you know.
The chances are that they slowed that leak down to a level that they're considering acceptable. When what they consider acceptable and what you and I would consider acceptable are completely different things. They're a corporation and we're private people. You know, the doctors down there have been told to kind of keep everybody just in, you know, there's nothing wrong with me because I'm a doctor and I live here. How can there be something wrong with you? It's your, it's all in your head. The same thing that the Gulf War veterans were told when they came back after being dosed with the depleted uranium when they were over in the Gulf back in 1992, taken out.
You know what I read today? I don't know if it was yesterday, I think it was, that there have been as many suicides as deaths from the veterans that have come over this year. That, you know, as many deaths in combat as number of suicides of the vets this year. Something like 463 veterans have committed suicide just this year alone.
Wow.
And there have been over 460 deaths related to combat deaths. So it's amazing, isn't it?
It's the trauma of being in a situation like that is something that people can't imagine, and it will certainly make some people just crack very quickly.
Well, I think what's crazy too is the fact that there are more deaths through these people this war than any other war. There are more suicides from these veterans than any other group of veterans ever. You know.
Yeah, it's a real shame. They just use their energy to come back and let the public know what's going on. You know, something.
Exactly. But a lot of these guys come back not only with post-traumatic stress, but they come back with depleted uranium sickness. They come back with radiation sickness, you know, and whatever.
They're lucky to come back with their limbs. I mean, one of the reasons some of them probably go crazy and kill themselves is because you can see, I think even recently here in Litchfield County, we had a young Marine or something came back and he had lost his arm and his leg.
Right.
He's still fighting proud, wants to go back again, and, you know, for our freedoms, you know, keep waiting.
These guys are nuts. They're nuts. I'm sorry they blew off their legs, but to go and want to go back and blow off some more of themselves just doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, so they're pawns in a game that they know nothing about. They're fighting for the rich and not for our freedoms. That's, you know, for rich corporations. I often said to them, tear that American flag off your uniform, soldier, and put on the Exxon Mobil Texaco Shell badges instead.
Hello,
put all those badges on, and then don't you dare say you're fighting for my freedoms. What freedoms are left? Go down to Wall Street and see what your fellow Americans really want. We want tyranny of the banks. And
have you made it down there, John? Have you got involved at all?
No, and there's a number of reasons. I don't know if you guys had talked about it on the show, and it's probably a subject that's getting, I don't know.
We've done a lot of it, yeah. We've talked a lot about it.
But there's a number of reasons that I personally will not get involved with it because I'm very suspicious of it. If the Wall Street protesters truly believe in the things that they're proclaiming, then they would be calling for the immediate resignation of Barack Obama and his entire cabinet. Now, the truth is that the Obama administration is responsible, in more ways than one, for the most of the things that Occupy Wall Street demonstration is supposedly complaining about. And if the Occupy Wall Street protesters were intellectually honest, we would see a flood of anti-Obama signs during these demonstrations. But instead, we have barely heard a peep of criticism of Obama. In fact, the vast majority of the protesters seem very excited about sending Obama back to the White House in 2012. And this, to me,
I don't think so. I haven't heard any of that. Most of them, a lot of them, are Ron Paul supporters, for crying out loud.
Well,
they want to, you know, end the Fed, kick out Bernanke, kick out the cabinet. All corporate lobbyists. They published a list of demands. A couple of days ago, they finally came out with a list of demands. It was about 50 or 60 items, and upon them was dissolving of the current government. You know,
but if Barack,
you know, they just don't, you know, they want all these bastards out. So it's like I don't know. I don't think they're they're probably disorganized.
Well, that is the only good thing about it. I have to say that that's really pissing off the media. I had an email from Andy Sewell, and he said that NPR is completely confused about the protesters because it is sort of like jelly, and it's hard to grab.
Well, you know, not only that, they hate these guys, these people down there, they hate the media. They hate NPR. They hate the New York Times. They hate the Wall Street Journal. They hate any of the mainstream.
Well, anything that represents the abuse that they've all experienced.
Complete and utter awakening, okay, of this, and that's what they're protesting, and that's what's exciting about this, John. And there's over 146 cities right now that all around the country. That thousands of people are in the streets, occupying the streets, or occupying Federal Reserve banks. People are barging into the Bank of America. All right, they just closed down Bank of America in New York City, and in San Francisco.
Right. I mean,
they're trying to they're camping out in front of the Fed buildings in all of these places. Boston just went crazy this last weekend. And, you know, Boston has got a tremendous number of people out on the streets right now.
Fortunately, the reason I'm sort of ticked off with the whole movement as well, it had to go this far that the economy had to be let go into down the toilet. The same people who are there protesting, are they that so stupid and dumbed down? Perhaps they are by the mainstream media. It's their fault, really, that they never could see what really happened on 9/11. Although the 9/11 truth investigation, I have to say, is on the list.
Oh man, I tell you, there's a whole lot of 911ers down there right now.
That is on the list. I just saw that tonight. I wasn't aware of that until tonight. So That's pretty good. But again, and one of the reasons is that there's millions upon...
And a whole lot of chemtrailers out there. We are changer down there as well. There's a lot of groups that are down in New York and all over the country right now, John. And I've got more confidence in this protest than I've ever had.
Well,
as long as it's a bunch of them.
As long as it's leaderless. If you have people like Bernie Sanders, I saw the WikiLeaks truck was down there. They're going to try and infiltrate it and be the spokespersons for it, and they'll lead it right over the cliff.
They won't allow it. They won't allow anybody to be a spokesman. They're all spokesmen. They're all leaders. You know what I mean?
Yes, but
that's a good thing.
You could say
you
will get on TV, though. Those people who are going to be put on Russia Today will be WikiLeaks. It won't be L.A. Steele, and it won't be Lila, and it won't be me.
I'll tell you the truth. They've been putting on a lot of people from nowhere. I mean, unknown people that have been getting on there, all right? And there's been a lot of celebrities made out of a lot of people because of the YouTube. And been a lot of speeches, been a lot of... In fact, they haven't really been focusing on, they were mocking Michael Moore, okay, when he was talking. And there were and Susan Sarandon really didn't say very much at all. They only gave her 5 minutes of an interview.
Yeah.
There's somebody who else is down there. They kicked out Charlie Rangel. Did you hear that?
Well, I'm not.
He tried to give. He went down there and tried to give a talk.
Yeah.
And they heckled him out of there.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Get out of here, you know. We don't want to hear you. You're the problem. Get out of here, you know.
There's enough people down there that they're seeing, all of the YouTube videos that are up there. They know Rangel's, past. Everything he does is sort of New World Order orientated, to put it in a
nutshell. Listen to some of these people. Some of the stuff they're talking, these individuals, These guys are like you and I. They know their shit. They know what they're talking about, and that's why they're down there.
Well, one of the things that really irked me, you probably saw this video on YouTube. It was a video, it was when it first, the first weekend when this protest started, it was pouring rain. I mean, absolutely pouring. We've had rain lately, but it, you know, it's a severe downpours at times. A number of people were sheltering under a blue tarp. Well, we all have blue tarps. We cover our wood with, you know, maybe a 6-foot tarp. And the police were telling them that they were going to arrest them if they didn't take the tarp off, that they didn't have a permit for a temporary structure. And I thought, wow, America really has sunk pretty low when you have to...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know,
your head.
You know what? These guys all said, you know, they all said, fuck you. In fact, I just played a 30-second video where they were marching down the street in Boston saying, fuck the Fed, fuck the Fed. And it's like, I think... You know, this stuff's going to change, John. It's changing now. Like, you know, the beauty of this, in a way, is how these guys have, even though they've been arrested, they've arrested about 1,000 people already, right, down there, or more. And they're still insisting on nonviolence. They're still, you know, staying with the nonviolent movement, right? And that's fine. You know, that's smart. And these guys are together. They have these, what they call these general assemblies, right? And the general assemblies where there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these people are gathering and making and talking and formulating their strategies, all right? And where they're going to march to, what their demands are, what's next.
Well, who's making those demands? So they have a leader then.
It's all a big encampment down there. What's that?
I mean, they have a media center.
They got a media center. They're feeding. They got a food center. They're feeding these guys, all these people.
So they're allowing some of it to have, if the powers that be really wanted to shut it down, they could cut off the electricity or stop their generators. They could say the noise levels are too high. And they might do that still. They're making these laws.
How many noise generators down there? Well, all they're doing is, these guys are all sleeping on the ground. Everything is operated through their cell phones. You know, most of their equipment is battery operated and stuff. But
their own newsletter, I heard.
What's that?
They have their own newsletter being printed now.
Just put out their own newsletter too. I just read about that too.
They're so really well organized. It's sometimes when stuff like this is organized, you have to look at what happened in the Arab Spring. A lot of this was done to get people to rise up and overthrow their leader, sort of thing. Once that happens, supposing this whole thing is successful and they do, the government says, okay, well, we'll have to rechange society. Perhaps they might say, well, Social Security, we can't afford that anymore. Would we all just sadly say, well, okay, let's change that? We all just give up that?
No, I don't think that's happening, and I'll tell you why. There's no real structure, no real leadership to this thing, all right?
They should have a different spokesperson every day. That would make it fairer.
They do. They do, for crying out. Everybody, there's new videos every single day, and somebody, I saw this one today where this guy gave an 8-minute talk. He was surrounded by people. He was just in a crowd, and he was telling people about the banking system and why they're there and why, you know, why and how everybody's getting screwed. And the guy was great. He was only in his 20s. The guy was right on the money about everything, and people were listening to him. And,
yeah, I heard Bill O'Reilly sent down some people from Fox News to try and make a kind of a fun of these people to try and get them to say things, and then he was going to have the Fox News network snip the tapes and rejoin them to make them look stupid.
Right.
But do all, you know, you can really you can cut those tapes. And
I got a feeling they probably smacked those Fox guys around, you know, because most of those people down there don't listen to Fox. They have no respect for Fox. So
well, there was the reason I brought that up about Fox is there was a particular incident down there. I just saw the video. In fact, I'll send it to you. I couldn't play it over the air here because there was a lot of background noise on the video from the cars behind and the street. I mean, an unusual.
What happened?
Well, Fox News sent one of their henchmen down from Bill O'Reilly, I think it was, sent him down. And the guy who spoke to the Fox guy, he took the reporter apart verbally. He was such he told off Fox News, he told off the mainstream media. He didn't miss a word. I mean, I wish I had, you know,
Those guys are right on the money. They're not stupid, these guys that are down there. And the girls, you know, they're articulate. There's only people got master's degrees and everything.
Sure.
They're unemployed and they're pissed off and they're down there. They're not stupid, you know.
No, these are young Americans, and they're becoming increasingly frustrated that the previous generations have saddled them with a $14 trillion national debt.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that not only that, they can't believe how fucked up the whole system really is, you know?
Right.
And they're awakening. This is what they call the awakening, you know? And it's, you know, funny thing is, John, we're getting to the end of the Mayan calendar.
You know, that occurred to me about that. I talked to a guy last night, and he brought the Mayan calendar thing. He said, "Do you think this is all part of the events?" And I said, "You know, I would have to talk to you about that. You're more the expert on the."
Exactly right. That's exactly what's happening. This is what's supposed to be happening. What is happening now? It's called the awakening.
Yeah.
And people by the 28th, by the end of this month, John, just wait and see what happens this month, all right? The entire freaking country will be ablaze, okay? Everybody's going to be on the streets before the end of this month.
I've had a number of friends who have never participated in this. Now, when I say friends, they're guys I work with who don't really ever listen to the news even during the day. They just listen to rock and roll, you know, whatever. And even at lunchtime, they'll make a comment about, "Oh, I wonder if I should go down to this Wall Street occupation." And I said, "Well, you know, you have a chance now to do something. If whatever you're pissed off and you say, 'Oh, friggin' more taxes,' you can just pay us, shut up forever, or now you've got to go down there and show your dissatisfaction. It's your civic duty as an American to do it." But I'm just a little. The reason I started out tonight saying I was a little bit disappointed was there is definitely more anger has to be put towards the president of the country and the people.
Oh, by the way, there's going to be an Occupy Washington in the middle of this month. So what they're doing is they've been working on this for a couple of months.
Yeah, they need to demand everybody in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, everybody resigns.
They want to occupy D.C., and have everybody, all these millions of people that are out there protesting now, you know, down to D.C. and occupy the Capitol, okay, and harass the shit out of these out of the congressmen and put some real serious pressure on them and occupy Washington and take it over.
Well,
you know what? If this thing happens by the end of this month, you're gonna see some real incredible revolutionary shit going on.
Well,
right?
Even if the people are peaceful and don't go down there with guns, which they probably should in some ways, we're supposed to have the right to bear arms to keep the government.
It'll remain nonviolent. But the thing is their nonviolence, they can still yell at them. You know what I mean?
Well,
they can still bark,
yell,
and mock them and heckle them. And that's exactly what they're doing in New York City, is they're walking around, marching, heckling, protesting Wall Street, all
right?
Right,
and the people, you've probably seen where the women were sprayed in the cage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and the police are going crazy down there. I don't know what the hell to do.
Well,
but a lot of the cops are on the side of the protesters, all right? And I just read an article tonight that over 20% of all the police, New York policemen, their mortgages, they're going into foreclosure themselves.
Well, so they should get it, yeah. But it's about time that kind of police force started to look at the signs that are on the street. I've gone down to the 9/11 protest, and the cops are being quite interesting. You can go over and ask them a question, and, you know, they have what on their cars, CPR, isn't it? Courtesy.
And you know what else is happening?
No respect.
Else is happening is the people that are actually, I just read tonight that the people that are actually doing the attacking are the white shirts, the guy, the lieutenants. All right.
Yeah, and you believe the name of the guy, Antonio Bologna? So that would be Tony Bologna. Now I told.
That's the guy's real name. Yeah, and Tony Bologna.
It sounds like if you asked a cop his name and he gave you a wisecrack answer, what's your name? Tony Bologna.
No, they got it right off his badge.
All right, well, maybe he just.
They got it off his badge, and they got this guy. They got photos of this guy doing it to several different people. He didn't just pepper spray those girls. He's been running around as pepper spraying all kinds of protesters.
Yeah, he did it too at some of the other meetings. At the convention a couple of years ago, I found out he was also photographed the Republican convention.
See, no, the guy's a sadistic bastard, you know, and that's why they got him up. And he's being investigated now by the Internal Affairs, you know.
The people, I'm saying,
because they filed a lawsuit against him. And insisted that he be suspended. So yeah, they're looking into that now. But no, there's a lot of stuff going on, John, that is just unbelievable. And things that people are really, really, these guys, I gotta give these kids credit because they're smart. They're smart kids.
Well, they're not just kids.
They know their shit. They've seen all the movies. They've watched Loose Change. They've this 911, and read all the books and done all this stuff. And they're finally fed up, you know.
Now, it isn't just kids. There's a lot. I want to make it clear to people who haven't seen this. I'm sure, hopefully, the listeners have all seen the videos on YouTube.
A lot of adults too. Yeah, a tremendous number of adults.
Ranging from AZs as old as you can imagine, even in wheelchairs down there.
There was a woman, an 83-year-old woman, who was arrested the other day.
And I guess people in their 20s are doing the best talking, and that's great. Because it is the young.
Yeah, and they're getting beat up, and they're getting bullied, and they're getting pushed around. But, you know, I don't know. That's what's getting everybody pissed off, all right, is when they see this stuff. And I mean, you had veterans groups coming down and said that they're joining to defend the protesters. These guys
were about the Marines. Was that
coming
story?
Down and they'll start defending these guys from police brutality. All right.
It's about time, because I believe a lot of the veterans have stood by and let this country go down the tubes, and it's time.
But the beauty of that, John, is you're seeing the hard right, hard left, middle of the road. Everybody's joining this thing, okay? Because they all understand that they're going down the tubes, that this country's going down the tubes. That, you know, the future of this country is fucked up, and it's screwed up because of the corporations, screwed up because of the government, screwed up, okay?
And I hate to be cynical about it, but it's too late. People have left it till the 11th hour. They've already cleaned this country out. There's no industry left. They've gutted it. They've gutted the industry.
Yeah, but Johnny, listen. Where did they clean it out to? Where's the money? Right?
It's in China. It's in Europe.
Aren't they?
Russia.
Okay? They're sitting on the money. Corporations are sitting on trillions and trillions of dollars worth of cash right now. Okay? The banks are sitting on the cash. Everybody's sitting on cash and not lending it, not using it, not hiring anybody. It's just exactly what happened during the 1930s when the Federal Reserve and all of the banksters, bastards, held back, stopped giving people credit and brought this country to its knees, okay? And that's exactly what's happening now, all right? So it's like, it's caused by the banks, and people understand this. People know it, okay? And that's why they're going after Wall Street, and that's why they're going to be going after the government, and I think in a couple of weeks. And I'm really, really, really hoping that this revolt is so much bigger, and I think it's pushed, Johnny, by the times. It's pushed by this end time, all right, where a lot of these people don't have anything to lose, John. They've already lost everything. You know what I mean? These people are losing their homes. They have no futures. They don't have any jobs, or they've lost their jobs, or their parents have lost their jobs or lost their homes, or you know what I mean? These are the kind of people that are out there, and they know what's going on, and they know why it's happening, and all of the problems that they see and all of the things they know about, this gives them a chance to be mad and go down and protest. And just like you told your friends, that was a great thing that you told them, and those guys will probably go down and march around, you know what I mean? Be the first protest they've ever joined.
Well, yeah, it'd be nice to see a new body on the ground. Everybody that goes down there, it adds to the crowd, and it definitely will make the powers that be nervous. Unfortunately, I am just a little nervous that they've always in the past used. They want changes. The order out of chaos thing is what the Masons have always. Chaos is something that they are able to twist and manipulate into their new system that's coming. We all have spoke on this program about the coming microchip population. We have to get rid of the old system, demolish the old money system.
Yeah, I know, John, but you got to understand one thing, and I think this is why I believe this, is that the people we're dealing with today, all right, they're not going to take any microchipping bullshit. They're not going to do that. I mean, they can't stand the corporations, right? They can't even stand the government. You think they're going to allow them to microchip everybody? I don't think so. Not those people. You may have a bunch of people that will, but, it's like they just came out, I don't know if you noticed or not, but they just came out this week with a new driver's licenses.
Yes.
Federal ID driver's licenses. Did you hear about it?
Yeah, in fact, I was at the motor vehicle today, and Kathy was going to get one, but I changed my mind, and I said no.
Yeah, you don't have to get it. You can opt out on it,
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think that was a wise idea. I got one, my license renewed back in May, but they didn't have this program yet, which was great, And Lila renewed her license, but they didn't have the program yet either, which is great, because I wouldn't have allowed it. I wouldn't have wanted it, And it's a good thing you didn't get it. But,
all right. Unfortunately, I'm totally not sold on the fact that it's the greatest idea ever to have this sort of a... I know it's a revolution of the mind, and it's great to see all the people, but the Wall Street powers that be were drinking champagne up on the balcony, laughing at the people, mocking
them. That was the first few days that it started. It was a big joke to them then, but
well,
not anymore, all right?
I wonder.
Not now. Half the people, half the customers for Bank of America just pulled out just canceled their accounts, pulled all their money out of there. Okay, now they're starting to see a runs on the banks. That's going to start. Okay,
well, that's
just like,
because the Bank of America stock that was over $80 is down to $6. When it hits $5, it'll become a penny stock.
Yeah, exactly. It's worthless.
But they're going to ask for a bailout, and they'll probably...
Yeah, well, they're not going to get it. They already got theirs, and they blew it.
Well,
right? They're going to ask for one, but they I don't think their Congress will be able to give them one, because people will be too pissed off. They want Bank America to fail. I'd like to see Bank America fail,
Well, it'll be another excuse for the...
30,000 employees, What the hell's left over there except a couple of high-paid CEOs and executives, And the rest is all automated and a few tellers, right? In fact, do you know that we just had, we had Larry Dorman at the AFSCME Union on, and he said that Bank of America, all right, doesn't pay their employees any, it doesn't give them any health benefits. Like the majority of their people are on Husky. They don't pay them very well, and a lot of them are on state assistance for health care, all right, for their kids. So it's like, so he says, I don't give a shit if Bank of America goes under. I'd love to see it go under, just like all of those bastard banks. And, what are you going to do? They're either going to screw you, John, or the people who can screw see it happening like the second time around, you know, not without a major revolution. It's not going to happen. That's why they want to end the Fed, John.
Well, the same to me is
in fact, they did the recent polls have stated 90% of the people in this country wanted to end the Federal Reserve. 90%. Imagine that.
Well, what do they want instead?
They want to issue their own monies.
Will
constitutionally issue their own money with a gold standard.
And will all of the will it be at a par with what the dollar used to be or is, or against other currencies? I mean, who's going to decide?
Well, what it was worth something, you know, like whatever a dollar's worth, it would be worth the dollar in gold, just like we used to be. All right, an American dollar is worth a dollar in gold, and that would be traded that way around the world. And that's what they want to have again, and there's nothing wrong with that.
See, I'm not sure about something, because I seem to be thinking back a while when those banks first went belly up, September 2008. We had Bear Stearns gone overnight. We had Lehman Brothers gone.
But you got to remember something, John. You got to remember who was involved. And see, this is what people are forgetting. Everything happened under George Bush and the Republicans. All right.
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think what it has to do is you have a global agenda. You're into it.
Yeah, but you've got to remember.
Talk about globalization. And globalization is the key funding of America. They're taking this country out.
That's true. But Hank Paulson was the biggest crook in the fucking world. He was the Treasury Secretary under Bush that instigated this entire bailout thing, okay? As well as he was the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, who created the subprime mortgage securities, right? He created this stuff. And what happened was, when it all started to go to bed, to crap and go to hell, and he started, you know, he's got the pressure, and Goldman Sachs was going under, and everybody else is going to go under on this. What did he do? He orchestrated the bailout, all right, paid everybody. All right, and plus, what they did is they insured all of these debts with AIG. Now, what did AIG do? They were the insurance company that the United States still owns. You don't hear about it, but we now own over 80% of that insurance company. Because, and we paid all of these investors a hundred cents on the dollar. Okay, and
AIG. In business.
And took the loss. That's right. That's what we did. That was part of the bailout. And everything was cool. Everything went good. Everybody got their $100 million bonuses, all right? And the people got it up the ass. And
well,
this is why.
When they took the bailout,
all
the
you can
think means you're getting the money, you're taking it out.
Hank Paulson, and don't forget Barack Obama, who Goldman Sachs was his biggest investor, our biggest donator. They gave him over $1 million toward his election. So, it was all rigged. You know, it was all set. And
a lot of the bailout money went into foreign banks in China. It went to Saudi Arabia. It went to other countries. They won't even tell us. I mean, they asked him on C-SPAN in the hearings, where did the money go? He says, I can't tell. Because it went to global organizations. They're taking the United States down.
To these banks and to these governments, bailed them all out with our money.
They bailed them out of America is what they did. They didn't bail them out of debt. They're leaving this country. The stock market that was in the United States and Wall Street is a has-been anyway. It's the country that used to be the high-powered country. The only thing we have is the military might, and even that will become secondary. Right now,
that's
China.
Right. The Federal Reserve bailed out these foreign banks and countries, okay, to the tune of $16 trillion of our money, right? Our taxpayer dollars.
That's right? Their agenda.
$16 trillion went to these foreign countries and foreign, as well as these big banks here in this country, all right? And we've gotten only, we haven't gotten back most of it. We've gotten back part of it, okay, that they did in loans. But that money's still out there. And that's why Bernanke is not talking, you know? It's a sick deal, John. It's really sick.
So far down the line, I mean, you know what people should have known when Bill Clinton was in power. It was around 1995, the whole Lewinsky case. Something else happened around that time. When everybody was worrying about the stain on the dress, there was two other things happening in the world. You know, you always look 60 degrees in the direction.
Always
happened. I'll tell you. There's one thing that happened. They repealed Glass-Steagall. That was the act that was to basically stop.
That's right.
It was put in after the last Great Depression, so it would never happen again, that the corporations could never get too powerful and just steal all the money kind of and rake us into the mud. Well, they did away with it, and it was even back then. Timothy Geithner was the one.
That's true. Well, Johnny, we're way past our bedtime here, but I wanted to. We wound up getting sidetracked, but I appreciate you being on tonight. I really do. Thanks.
Yeah, we didn't quite agree on a lot of things tonight, but I mean that's the debate. It goes on forever anyway, so I'm sure people.
I think it's good to talk about it, and so we, you know, people understand what really is happening out there,
It is difficult to put a finger point on any one thing. I mean, like you say, a number of the people who are down there are basically disgruntled Americans of every age from all types of families, and they're pretty angry, and I think they're getting angrier by the day. So they have to do something. One
they
guy
are, and
more,
the
and
worst,
it
worst
took
worst,
a one-way
right.
there. So,
that's exactly right. But that's what revolution is all about. People get pissed off about all kinds of things, all right? Organize, you know.
You'll never beat these guys without an armed revolution. They're not going to go down easy. There's no way. These guys have been at it too long. They've caused too many wars around the world, and they've got the military brainwashed through war and terror after us.
You got to understand something. All we got to do is get them heated up, get them worried, get them leaving the country. You know, let's start getting indictments on these guys, one after the other after the other.
That would be great.
The only way we can do that is by pushing for. Pushing the limit with going to Washington, occupying Washington, occupying the state capitals, occupying all these places until we change these guys get scared enough so they make the laws that protect the people and go after these sons of bitches, okay? And that's the only way we can do it. Otherwise, the only other way to do it is to just take it over and start a new government all ourselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way. It's the only, you know, 300 million people start a new government.
Well,
right?
At the end of it all, then all I can say is I'm suspicious of it, but I'm, I suppose, positively suspicious. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping it's go. I wish them well. Don't get me wrong, but I remain suspicious.
I was suspicious at first, too. And the only reason I'm not suspicious anymore is because I see how big it's become, all right? And how disdained. I mean, these guys have rejected the media. They've rejected the Wall Street bankers. They rejected the government. They rejected everybody, all right? They don't want anything to do with the system the way it is, all right? Or any member. That's why you haven't seen any major politicians down there, because they saw what happened to Rangel. They don't want to get kicked out of there. It embarrass them, you know what I mean? They don't want that.
Well,
okay.
I know we have.
What?
In the interest of, I'll just do a last thing. I think it would be very interesting to talk about this around Christmas Day. By then, we really have a better picture of what has occurred in America.
So, but I think let's talk about this till at the end of the month, because
the end of the month, okay.
I really, really think at the end of this month we're going to see some serious activity. In fact, I'm predicting a crash on Wall Street by on the 29th. That's my prediction.
Oh.
All right. October 29th. And I'll tell you why.
Anyway, so...
you know why?
Exactly.
I'll tell you why. Because it has to do with numbers. And the last Wall Street crash that we had, okay, was October 27th, 1987. All right?
Yep.
The one prior to that was 1929, all right, on October 29th. All right? Now, the 27th and the 29th, I'm predicting that we will have it on the 28th or the 29th. Because the 29th, I believe, this year of October is a Friday, all right? So that's my prediction. And I think that's going to happen because everything is gearing up, and you've read enough stuff to know that everyone's predicting a crash, all right? And right now the stock market is so volatile, you know, they just lost. They're losing 200, 300, 500 points every day, you know?
Well...
I think that's what's happening, John.
You there?
Yep.
Yeah, my battery's dying there, so
I was just going to say, don't forget that the stock market is artificially manipulated because of the plunge protection team that Ronald Reagan set up.
That's right.
Working markets and financial affairs.
That's right, but guess what?
Deliberately crashes.
On October 10th, okay, the anonymous group, you know, the hackers, they just came out with an announcement that on October 10th, they intend to crash the entire New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, but to go and tell them that in advance is stupid.
No, they did. They put it out, and they said it. And they said it's going to happen.
Computers. I mean, if I would, I'd have the, now that I know somebody's going to do a cyber attack, I would either shut down Wall Street for the day. It seems silly to tell your opponents what you're going to do.
It does sound silly, but they've done it before, you know, and they're doing it now and saying...
we'll just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, and what they want to do is they're putting up a website and showing how to crash this thing, and you can download software and everything else that you need, and they're looking for millions of people to whack Wall Street, you know. So I think they're looking for... They're hoping that millions of people... will attack Wall Street on a cyber attack. So they're showing you how to do it.
I heard Bank of America's website crashed because Bank of America, their website went down because of complaints.
That's right. Thousands of people, millions of people, all their clients were going after them, and you know, because of that increase that they had. So. No, it'll be interesting to see. That was their warning, October 10th, all right, is the day. And they even announced it by a verbal announcement.
Very interesting times we live in.
Yeah. In fact, I think, I'll send you over that YouTube video that they put out. And so you can check it out. All right?
Hey, that's grand.
Okay, Johnny. Thanks for being on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank
Good
you.
Good night, John.
Bye-bye. Good night, Johnny. Okay. And that was John Brennan, and we want to thank him for being on. And we want to say good night.
And good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good evening.
Yeah. And let's see, here we go. And join us tomorrow night, same time, same place. And we'll have more news and views for you.